Hello everyone, my name is Lu Huaxin, an OS engineer. I have been working for 2 years and my work is mainly about OS security technique, such as access control and integrity protection. Today, I'm going to share with you some of our work in Secpower project, which is a feature in OpenEuler. To begin with, let me start by saying a few words about OpenEuler. So OpenEuler is an open-source Linux OS distribution. It's positioned as a secure, stable, and easy-to-use OS and an ecosystem of the digital infrastructure. At the same time, the OpenEuler is also an innovation community. It encourages everyone to propose new ideas and solutions, together driving a growing and prosperous application ecosystem. Before getting into the details, the subject of my today talk is about the security policy of applications. The security policy is usually a set of rules that define the permissions of applications and tell each process what you can do and cannot do, such as file access, network transfer, and IPC using. The proper policies can effectively improve system security and resilience. With the security policy, applications can run with the least privilege. Even if they are attacked, they cannot perform actions beyond the rule limits. The support of OS is usually required for security policies to take effect. For example, Linux kernel provides the LSM framework. Lots of fork functions are inserted in kernel code for security check, such as system calls. Based on the LSM framework, Linux provides several security modules, such as SLinux, Aparamas, Mac, and Tomoyo. Of course, the LSM is not the only way to control access. Usually, the security policy is determined and loaded into OS by administrators. Then, the security modules perform access control according to the policies. The syntax and usage vary with the security modules. Here we show three kinds of policy: SLinux, Aparamas, and Tomoyo. SLinux, originally developed by NSA, is one of the most widely used security modules. In some Linux distributions, like Fedora and CentOS, SLinux is enabled by default. SLinux uses label to identify subjects and objects. Every file, prod, process are all labeled with SLinux context label. So SLinux policy is also based on labels, determines each label's access and transition. Aparamas is another widely used security module. Aparamas is path-based and it's very easy to use. Some Linux distributions like Debian, OpenSUSE ship with Aparamas. However, Aparamas supports less permission types than SLinux. Tomoyo is also path-based. It can be used for system analysis or system security improvement. Compared to other security modules, Tomoyo provides a learning mode that can easily generate policies. Although security policies can make the system more secure, in many systems, administrators disable the security modules directly or just use the default policies. The biggest problem is writing security policy is really not an easy task. Security hardening is the responsibility of the administrator. They determine firewall roles or auditor roles. However, it's very difficult for them to write application security policies because they can't know all behaviors of applications in their systems. But for most security modules, policies are written as whitelists, like SLinux and Aparamas. That means if you ignore even one permission in policies, the process won't even run properly. On the other hand, for software developers, although they are familiar with applications, lack of experience with security policies is another problem. Moreover, developers don't know what OS distributions their applications will run on, and maintaining all kinds of policies requires really a huge workload. For these questions, our idea is, at first, security policy can be a part of software. Nowadays, Many open source software has released security policies at the same time, such as Docker, OpenVSwitch, and TPM2ABRMD. Then, we think security policy can be automatically generated. Developers only need to provide the process permission list of their applications, without learning much about the syntax and the usage of security modules. So we developed the SecPaver project. SecPaver is an open source security policy development tool, and we designed it as a framework that supports multiple security modules. We hope this tool can make policy development and deployment easier. SecPaver now is open source at OpenOil community. The main idea of SecPaver is to provide a middle layer and convert the permission list into different kinds of security policy. With SecPaver, even if you don't know how to write the security policy or how the security modules work, you can also develop security policies for your applications. This picture can clearly show the optimization of SecPaver for the development process. For a traditional mode, the software developing and the security policy developing are separated. But with SecPaver, security policy development can be integrated into software development. Now, the development team collects the behaviors of the applications, exports the permission list, and generates security policy automatically. Then, the development, testing, release, and deployment of applications and security policies can be synchronized. Here's how we plan the features of SecPaver. We divide the entire policy development cycle into four phases. Then we think about what SecPaver can do at each phase. In policy design phase, SecPaver provides a policy configuration file that masks the details of different security policy. Developers can determine the permission list of each process with the configuration file. Furthermore, the GUI is also being supported to make this step much easier. In policy development phase, the policy can be automatically generated according to the permission list. In policy test phase, SecPaver provides process management interfaces, including policy querying, installing, and uninstalling. The policy learning mode is also supported to find the missing rules during testing. In policy release phase, SecPaver exports a policy package that contains policy files and deployment programs. In this way, policies can be easily deployed in an environment where SecPaver is not installed. Then let's talk about the architecture. We choose Golang as the development language, and SecPaver is designed as client-server architecture. The client programs include the command line tool and the GUI tool. The server program is a systemd service, manages key resources and implements core functions. SecPaver uses plugin for function extension. The support of different security modules, such as SLinux and Palmer, is implemented in individual plugins. You can load different plugins to generate different types of security policies. At the same time, everyone can develop their own plugin by coding and implementing several interfaces and compiling them into Golang plugins. In addition, to make the generated policy more accurate, SecPaver needs to analyze the system configuration and the existing policies, rather than a simple code generation tool. Next, let me show you how to use SecPaver. Firstly, after SecPaver is installed, you can run the SecPaver server daemon with system control start pev command, and check the loaded engine plugins with pev engine list command. For this example, this result means the SLinux and Palmer engine plugins is loaded. Then we begin policy generation. We can create a template project at first, and then we modify the config files in project to add the permission list of applications. The format of project is declared in the SecPaper document. Here's just a simple case. We add the permission set allows the touch command to create the regular file tmp test. After that, the policy can be generated by the pip project build command, and the engine parameter can be used to specify the policy type, for example, it's Linux or a Palmer. After the policy is successfully built, we can run the pip policy list command to check the generated policy. After policy building, we need to check whether the policy meets all our requirements. We use the pip policy install command to install the policy. Then we test the touch command and find that the tmp test file can be created, but the opt test file cannot be created. The error message is permission denied, which means the policy has taken effect. After testing, we can use the pip policy uninstall command to remove this policy. However, the question is, even developers may not be able to list the full permissions of an application, so the policy learning feature can help a lot. For example, let's assume that the touch command should create the opt test file, but we just forgot to add this permission. Then we start policy learning with pip policy learn command and run touch command test to create the opt test file. Then the secpaper daemon will monitor the audit log and automatically store the missing rules. After testing, the missing rules can be exported, and the missing rules can be added to project directly, so the policy can be easily completed. After policy testing, we confirm that the generated policy is OK. Then we can use secpaper to export a policy package for policy release. In addition to the policy files, the package also contains some script programs for policy installing, uninstalling, and other operations. Now, let's see an example that uses secpaper to develop the Linux and Palmer policies for an application.
Now I will show how to develop a Linux policy with secpaper. This is an OpenOiler OS distribution, and the Linux is enabled by default. And I have prepared an application named Demo. The demo program will read the config file, read and write the data file, send and receive message through TCP and UDP. The data file path and the support used for TCP UDP can be set in the config file. I have written the secpaper project for this application. The project template can be auto-generated, and in the project, the resource file and the permission file should be written. In resource file, I declare all the files and their file type used by this application. And in the permission file, I configure the permission list, including the read permission for config file, the create, read, write permission for data file, and the permission for TCP UDP. The permission of netbind service capability is also needed because it should bind support number 80. In this system, I have installed secpaper with the Linux engine plugin. Then I used the project build command to generate the Linux policy according to this project. After generating, we can check the policy by policy list of command, and we can see the policy has been generated and the status is disabled. Then I install the policy by policy install command. For Linux policy, the installing has two steps. Firstly, insert the generated policy module to the global policy and load the global policy to kernel. Secondly, all the file labels should be set correctly. We can check the Linux label of application file, and it has been changed, and the policy module has also been inserted with SE module. After that, we can check the policy status become active. Then we check the effect of this policy. Linux is whitelist mode,
So only access in the permission list is allowed to be run.
I modify the config file and set a new data file path, and then run the application. You can see the application doesn't have the permissions to access the new file. Then I change the TCP port, run the application again, and the application can listen at the new TCP port. The error message is permission denied. After testing, we can use the policy uninstall command to uninstall the policy. And the access control of a policy is removed. The async label of an application file is also recovered. Finally, we can export our policy package for policy release. The policy package is a zip file, including the policy files and some scripts for deployment. With this script, the policy can be deployed in other environments that SecPiVa is not installed. Then I will show the similar process for a Palmer policy development. This environment is Ubuntu with a Palmer enabled, and the application, the SecPiVa project is all same. Without any policy, the demo program can run properly with the changed data file path. Then I start to generate the Palmer policy. In this environment, I install SecPiVa with a Palmer plugin. Then I run the same command to generate the Palmer policy. And checks the policy is generated, the status is disabled. Then we install the policy. And we can find the demo policy has been loaded in the system with a Palmer status command. Run the application again, the access control takes effect. The demo program can only access TMP demo.data file. However, if I change the setting of TCP port, the application can also run. That's because a Palmer cannot control the access of port. So you can see, the main purpose of SecPiVa is to provide a middle layer to mask the difference of security modules. Even if you don't understand how these security modules work, you can still write and use security policy by SecPiVa. And in the future, more types of security policy will be supported. Okay, that's all. Thank you for watching.
And about the future of SecPiVa. We have planned the following features. Firstly, we hope SecPiVa to be much wider. That means SecPiVa needs to support all mainstream security policy types, like SLinux, Palmer, SMAC, and Tomoyo. Secondly, the policy learning feature is coming soon. Thirdly, the GUI is our next focus. We think the GUI can make the policy designer simpler and more efficient. Besides, a simpler policy configuration format is also being designed to replace the current JSON format. And currently, SecPiVa project is still in its early stage, If you have any questions or ideas, you can submit issues or code to this project. We really hope more developers can join SecPair project and make it better. Finally, welcome to OpenOil community. Okay, that's all I want to show you. Thanks for your attention.